There were 8 legal-sized pages of them. I read them all in the dim glow from the dome light. They were full of specifics. They had plenty of fine detail. But in general, they didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. I checked them twice, and when I was finished, I butted them into a neat stack and carried them back to the tip of the point. Sat down on a rock and folded each page into a paper boat. Somebody had showed me how, when I was a kid. Maybe it had been my dad. I couldn't remember. Maybe it had been my brother. I launched the 8 little boats on the receding tide, one after the other, and watched them sail and bob away into the pitch darkness in the east. Then I went back and spent some time fixing the headliner. I got it looking pretty good. I closed up the garage. I figured I would be gone before anybody opened it up again and noticed the damage on the car. I headed back to the house, reloaded my pockets and relocked the door, and crept back upstairs. Stripped to my shorts and slid into bed. I wanted to get 3 more hours, so I reset the alarm in my head and hauled the sheet and the blanket up around me and pressed a dip into the pillow and closed my eyes again. Tried to sleep, but I couldn't. It wouldn't come. Dominique Cole came instead. She came straight at me out of the darkness, like I knew she would. The 8th time we met, we had tactical problems to discuss. Taking down an intel officer was a can of worms. Obviously, MPs deal exclusively with military people gone bad, so acting against one of our own was not a novelty. But the intel community was a case apart. Those guys were separate and secretive, and they tried very hard to be accountable to nobody. They were tough to get at. Generally, they closed ranks faster than the best drill squad you ever saw. So Cole and I had a lot to talk about. I didn't want to have the meeting in my office. There was no visitor's chair. I didn't want her standing up the whole time. So we went back to the bar in town. It seemed like an appropriate location. The whole thing was getting so heavy we were ready to feel a little paranoid about it. Going off base seemed like a smart thing to do. And I liked the idea of discussing intel matters like a couple of regular spies in a dark little booth at the back of a tavern. I think Cole did, too. She showed up in civilian clothes. Not a dress, but jeans and a white T-shirt with a leather jacket over it. I was in fatigues. I didn't have any civilian clothes. The weather was cold by then. I ordered coffee. She got tea. We wanted to keep our heads clear. "I'm glad we used the real blueprints now," she said. I nodded. "Good instinct," I said. As far as evidence went, we needed to slam dunk the whole thing. For Quinn to be in possession of the real blueprints would go a long way. Anything less than that, he could start spinning stories about test procedures, war games, exercises, entrapment schemes of his own.
"It's the Syrians," she said, "and they're paying in advance on an installment plan."
"How?"
"Briefcase exchange. He meets with an attaché from the Syrian embassy. They go to a cafe in Georgetown. They both carry those fancy aluminum briefcases, identical."
"Halliburton," I said. She nodded.
"They put them side by side under the table, and he picks up the Syrian guys when he leaves."
"He's going to say the Syrian is a legit contact. He's going to say the guy is passing him stuff."
"So we say, okay, show us the stuff."
"He'll say he can't, because it's classified." Cole said nothing. I smiled.
"He'll give us a big song and dance," I said. "He'll put his hand on our shoulders and look into our eyes and say, hey, trust me on this, folks. National security is involved."
"Have you dealt with these guys before?"
"Once."
"Did you win?"
I nodded. "They're generally full of shit. My brother was MI for a time. Now he works for Treasury. But he told me all about them. They think they're smart, whereas they're really the same as anybody else."
"So what do we do?"
"We'll have to recruit the Syrian."
"Then we can't bust him."
"You wanted 2 for 1? Can't have it. The Syrian is only doing his job. Can't fault him for that. Quinn is the bad guy here." She was quiet for a moment, a little disappointed. Then she shrugged.
"Okay, but how do we do it? The Syrian will just walk away from us. He's an embassy attaché. He's got diplomatic immunity."
I smiled again. "Diplomatic immunity is just a sheet of paper from the State Department. The way I did it before was I got hold of the guy and told him to hold a sheet of paper up in front of his gut. Then I pulled my pistol out and asked him if he figured the paper was going to stop a bullet. He said I would get into trouble.
I told him however much trouble I got into wasn't going to affect how slowly he bled to death.
And he saw it your way?
I nodded. Played ball like Mickey Mantle. She went quiet again. Then she asked me the first of two questions that, much later, I wished I had answered differently.
Can we see each other socially?
It was a private booth in a dark bar. She was cute as hell, and she was sitting there right next to me. I was a young man back then, and I thought I had all the time in the world.
You asking me on a date?
Yes.
I said nothing.
We've come a long way, baby, she said.
Then she added, women, I mean, just in case I wasn't up to date with current cigarette advertising. I said nothing.
I know what I want, she said.
I nodded. I believed her. And I believed in equality. I believed in it big time. Not long before that, I had met a woman Air Force colonel who captained a B-52 bomber and cruised the night skies with more explosive power aboard her single plane than all the bombs ever dropped in the whole of human history put together. I figured if she could be trusted with enough power to explode the planet, then Sergeant First Class Dominique Cole could be trusted to figure out who she wanted to date.
So?
Questions I wished I had answered differently. No, I said.
Why not?
Unprofessional. You shouldn't do it.
Why not?
Because it'll put an asterisk next to your career. Because you're a talented person who can't get any higher than Sergeant Major without going to Officer Candidate School. So you'll go there, and you'll ace it, and you'll be a Lieutenant Colonel within 10 years because you deserve it. But everybody will be saying that you got it because you dated your captain way back when. She said nothing. Just called a waitress over and ordered us two beers. The room was getting hotter as it got more crowded. I took my jacket off. She took her jacket off. I was wearing an olive drab T-shirt that had gotten small and thin and faded from being washed 1,000 times. Her T-shirt was a boutique item. It was scooped a little lower at the neck than most T-shirts, and the sleeves were cut away at an angle, so they rode up on the small deltoid muscles at the top of her arms. The fabric was snow white against her skin, and it was slightly translucent. I could see that she was wearing nothing underneath it. Military life is full of sacrifices, I said, more to myself than to her.
I'll get over it.
Then she asked me the second question I wish I had answered differently.
Will you let me make the arrest?